Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to this special edition of the Serotalk Podcast. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
This week, we're beginning a three-part special from ATIA 2012 in Orlando, Florida, where Joe and I had the opportunity to visit with a lot of great people. Right, Joe?
Absolutely. And we also managed to bring along our friend Derek Lane, who also does some of these interviews that you'll hear during the podcast. And, oh man, if you want to know more about everything that we're talking about here, definitely head on over to our show notes over at serotalk.com, www.serotalk.com. And stay with us because we'll have more audio coming this year from CSUN, as well as the summer conventions from ACB and NFB. This is going to be your place to hear the latest and the greatest from all of our friends in the AT industry here on Serotalk.
Well, let's get started with an interview that I had the privilege of doing with Larry Skutkan of American Printing House for the Blind here on the Serotalk Podcast. This is Jamie Pauls reporting for the Serotalk Podcast Network, and we're here at ATIA 2012, and I'm visiting with Larry Skutkan of APH. And Larry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jamie. It's nice to see you on a different venue.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize you were with Serotalk now.
I am doing that.
Awesome.
Well, I'm holding something in my hand that's pretty impressive. Why don't you tell us what this is?
That is the Braille Plus 18.
Okay.
And I'm going to say note taker,
right,
just to give us a general category of what it is. But what it really is an Android smartphone with a built-in Braille display and a Braille keyboard and specialized software from APH.
Okay.
And those specialized software include an OCR package. This does have a 5-megapixel camera on it.
Okay.
So you can just hold it up, snap a shot. You all know what OCR does. You get
sure
to read it in Braille. Or
mm-hmm.
Works for menus and books or anything. We're actually going to probably later on this year come out with a stand for it to help, a portable stand to help hold it still. But it, already as it is, even freehand, it's mm-hmm. Some amazing OCR.
Nice.
One of the other programs we have on there I am really excited about. It's a GPS application. This does have a GPS receiver in it.
Right.
And it's called Nearby Explorer. And it is amazing, Jamie.
Okay.
I have been having a ball working on this thing.
Yeah.
What it does is several things. There's a main screen that's got, 18 or 19 various things that you might want to know about, like your heading and speed, the nearest street, the address of the street you're on.
Right.
And each time you can either look at it and get your information about where you are, or you can check the box and it'll automatically speak it when it changes as you move around.
Okay.
And there's lots of different ways to use it, but one of my favorites is to check the street name, and then there's an item on there called nearby places and nearby place distance.
Yeah.
And what those are just tells you about the things in your environment that are closest to you.
Okay.
So as you're walking down the street, it might say, Walmart, 50 yards east.
Yeah.
And as you move, it updates the distance and so forth.
Okay.
It comes with maps on the device
mm-hmm.
and points of interest. And it also supplements that with online if you have a data connection. So one thing I didn't mention to you about this device is it's also a smartphone. Well, I did say a smartphone.
Right.
But right in the front is a slot where you can insert a SIM card,
okay,
a GSM SIM card.
Right.
We will be doing CDMA later on in the year.
Very good.
But if you have a data plan or in a Wi-Fi network, you can supplement the onboard data with Google Places data.
Oh.
And actually, we're working on a new feature, too, that incorporates transit in there as well. But I don't think that's going to make it into the initial release, but
right.
There will be upgrades.
Okay.
But other things you can do with this is... this is with the online data.
Mm-hmm.
When you you press the search key, and it pulls up the 20 closest things to you, and each one of them tells you how far it is and what direction.
Right.
But you can hit the left and right arrow to adjust your scope. So the default is that it looks around within about 130 yards of where you are.
Right.
Now, if you're riding down the highway at 60, 70 miles an hour, that isn't really that useful.
No.
So what you would do is you would hit the right arrow, and it expands the search radius out. And Google, it does some amazing things with giving you the 20 most prominent items in that search area.
Okay.
So if you're just looking at 130 yards, you know, if we're standing here, well, let me just see
sure.
what we get when we're standing here. Let me put a speaker on this thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to start nearby Explorer.
Recent. Contacts. Messaging. Search. Nearby Explorer. Contacts. Florida. Orange County. Winter Garden. Vineland Road. Nearby Explorer. Street name checked. 7 of 18. Network. Kissimmee Vineland Road, 27 yards southwest, near IOP, near Flexion Spa and Salon.
Wow.
Okay, so we're not getting a GPS signal in here,
right.
So it's augmenting with network location information.
Okay.
So let's see where it thinks we are. Like I say, we can look around on this
approaching
screen.
Approaching object, 8 of 18. Street. Name, Kissimmee Vineland Road, 27 yards southwest checked. 7 of 18.
So it thinks we're not exactly where we need to be, but I think that's the best you can do with a network connection.
Sure.
No GPS.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to search.
Manual pause. 1 of 6. Search. 2 of 6. Waiting for result. Online search results, 176 yards. Reflection Spa and Salon Place, 53 yards northwest, 15657 South Africa Vineland Road, Orlando, 1 of 21.
Okay, so it did give us 21 items.
Okay.
If I press left arrow to reduce the search...
Right.
Waiting for results. Online search results, 132 yards. Reflection Spa and Salon Place, 53 yards northwest, 15657 South Africa Vineland Road, Orlando, 1 of 15.
Okay.
So now we're down to 15 items.
Right.
If you keep going left...
Online search results, 88 yards. Reflection Spa and Salon Place.
I'm going to keep going
waiting
down.
For result.
Right.
Online search results, 44 yards. Florida, 535 place, 95 yards southeast. Orlando,
okay.
1 of 1.
So now I've gotten it so narrow, there's nothing around us. So it just tells us we're in Florida.
Wow. That's great.
So if I go right arrow, let's
waiting
see what our next...
Online search results, 88 yards. Fast Shoe Outlet Place, 14 yards north. 15581 South Africa Vineland Road. Orlando, 1 of 17.
So there's 17 items, okay. And we can look through them.
Well, can I ask you...
Place, 21 yards east, okay. 15629
yeah.
South Africa Vineland Road. Screen off.
Shut that off.
So what version of Android are we using here?
We're running 2.3.
Okay.
And we do definitely have plans to upgrade to 4.0. It should be a free upgrade. I don't know when that'll happen. We'll probably be coming out with this mid-March time frame.
Okay.
And it will be shipping with 2.3.
Okay. And what's the price point on this?
We're looking a little under $4,000.
Okay.
And what you got, let me give you the rest of the hardware.
Sure.
So you got a 5-megapixel camera. Mm-hmm. You got 32 gigabytes of internal storage.
Okay.
SD card slot in the front, a full-size one this time.
Right.
We learned our lesson.
Yeah.
Full-size USB slot on the left.
Okay.
And the really neat thing, I think, especially for teachers and parents, is that this thing actually has video output.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So the earphone jack, we're going to ship this with a special cable that plugs into the earphone jack, and then the other end is three RCA jacks, a left and right audio and a video.
Mm-hmm.
Just plug it into a TV or a monitor that has those inputs, and whatever you, it'll just look like another Android device.
All right.
I don't know if you checked out that Braille keyboard, but
yes.
I think this is the best Braille input method I've seen on any device.
Awesome, yeah.
We really took a lot of time and expense to develop a, it's very similar to the key action in a Macintosh notebook computer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What they call double scissor action.
Cool.
So no more of this wobbly or yeah. touching the edges or whatever. It's dead on.
Awesome. Well, man, I would like to thank you for taking the time to visit with us. This is a really exciting product and people are really curious about it. So I'm glad we could take a little bit of time and actually explore it today.
All right. Thank you, Jamie.
You bet.
This is Derek Lane, now at Benetech/Bookshare. And I have the pleasure of hanging out with Mr. Fred Sloan. Good to see you.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning to you, too. Now, to kind of get people informed so that, you know, because some may not know by now, though a lot do, what in brief is Bookshare?
So Bookshare is an online library of accessible electronic books. We have over 130,000 books available to qualified users.
And how would one be able to access this collection?
So you sign up for membership through our website, www.bookshare.org, and there's online instructions, make it fairly easy. You have to sign up, and the only step that takes a little time is we have to have proof of a qualifying disability, a print disability. So help us understand that you're not able to read a printed book, and we'll sign you up for membership, and then you can get access to any of our books through a web browser from anywhere.
And I guess that would also imply that a lot of the book reading devices built for the visually impaired and blind would by now offer access to the Bookshare library?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Yeah, many of the device makers work with us. They're fantastic partners. So, yeah.
And I understand that we are coming up on the one-year anniversary of Read2Go, which
is
the app that works on the iPhone, doesn't it?
Yes, it works on all of the iOS devices, and we're getting a lot of positive comments. Just makes it a lot easier for folks to read the books, sort of when and where they want, take them with them.
Now, is this using VoiceOver on the phone and just bringing up in a viewer, or does it do a lot more than that?
So it's tapping into a lot of the built-in accessibility features of the Apple or the iOS. And so, yes, so you get VoiceOver and text. So, again, multimodal.
Okay.
And you can change the speed at which it reads. You can change the background, the colors, the highlighting.
Does it have a sleep timer?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it does have a sleep timer. So that's actually, I don't know.
Because that would be a great feature if it doesn't. Because I've gotten
right.
in trouble because the tape days are over. You don't get the luxury of running at the end of side three and the thing sitting there waiting for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll bring that back to our engineering team. So I hadn't heard that.
All right. But I bet you guys in this year of between the release of Read2Go and the present, have a lot more going on, don't you? Isn't there a Droid app in the works?
So we have a lot of great and exciting stuff going on. So yeah, right now one of the projects our engineering team is working on is an Android reader. So that for hopefully what we look for in the future is to be able to unlock the ability to read our books on Android-based devices. And so the team has been working hard on that. And so we're really excited to see that move forward.
Any other new and exciting things that Bookshare is going to?
One of the other things, and actually a tremendous thank you to a recent award from the U.S. Department of Education. We are working on creating image descriptions because that's one of the next frontiers we're looking at. As you pull up our book, if you're not able to see the image, how do we make that image accessible? And so we're starting the work of figuring out how can we do image descriptions at large scale, right? How can we do thousands, tens of thousands of image descriptions?
And in context.
Exactly. That's right. So not just this is a tree, but how do we tell someone about the image and convey, you know, whatever the concepts or the learning principles are so that someone really can get, you know, the same experience that, you know, that a sighted user would have.
Any leads on possibilities for making this happen?
So we are doing it right now. So it's already, we're in the testing phase. We have created almost 5,000 descriptions. And we are working with the Diagram Center that has built a web-based image description tool. So we are currently already using an existing tool to start to figure out, you know, literally, how can we do tens of thousands and put them into books?
would this offer employment opportunities for those who would want to either volunteer or, you know, get paid to contribute to the effort of either description of images or scanning books or editing or anything
so
like that?
So, great question. Right now, we have a tremendous team of volunteers all over the country helping us with that. So right now, not necessarily employment opportunities, but tremendous volunteer opportunities, and we already have over 30 volunteers all over the country that have already contributed image descriptions.
Very nice, very cool. It's like CAPTCHA solving, but on a much larger scale.
And exactly.
Much longer term use. Very awesome. Let's talk about pricing, because we've got all this wonderful material to access, all these cool ways of getting to it.
There's first a wonderful answer that, thanks to the U.S. Department of Education, the OSEP department, if you're a student in the United States, your membership is free for Bookshare. So they are currently, as part of an award that we received, they're funding free membership for all qualified students.
As long as you are a student, correct?
Yes. You need to be a student and you have to qualify for access. If you're a non-student and you want access, again, it's a great story. So $50 annual membership. The first time you sign up, there's a $25 setup fee, but then $50 a year and it's unlimited access. You can pull down as many books, as many downloads as you want.
That's brilliant, because that comes to less than $10 a month, and some books alone are much more than $10.
Absolutely, and we see every year at conferences and as we talk to our users, we will see users who literally have 1,000 books on a device. Because, you know, that's reading. That's the joy of reading.
Absolutely. Now, that's a perfect segue back to devices and now the app, as we mentioned before, both iOS and Android.
Yeah.
How much are we talking to get that going?
So our Read2Go app, which is our Apple, iOS, iPad, iTouch, iPod device, that's available through the Apple Store, and that is $19.99. The Android reader, we hope, will be free. So we're working to build it on an open source basis so that we're hoping when it comes out that it'll be free.
Question may come up as to why the iOS app is $20 and the Android
Absolutely.
Free.
We had to pay to have the Apple application developed. And so
right.
just so we have to recover, you just
the
have to be able to recover
of,
the cost.
Yes, absolutely. Very
yeah.
understandable. Plus there's the developer license that would need to be and the money that Apple would take off the top for storing it and so on. Yeah, so that makes, that's reasonable.
Yeah. We wish it were free. We would have loved
yes,
to have had it otherwise,
absolutely.
But it did. It was, and it's a wonderful app, and the partner that helped develop it did a great job, so.
Brilliant. Well, I thank you for your time. It has been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Good luck in the future efforts.
Take care.
You too. Reporting for the Saratalk Podcast Network, this has been Derek Lane.
Joe Steinkamp back at ATIA 2012, and I'm over at the combined powers of Ash and Eschenbach. Gentlemen, why don't we start with your names and what you do, and then we'll pull on into the product, shall we?
Great, thanks, Joe. My name is Tim Gels. I'm the marketing manager for Eschenbach Optic.
Hi, I'm Frank Lennon. I'm here from Ash Technologies, and I'm the sales rep for Ireland.
There you go. All right, guys, so we got a lot of stuff to get through here, but one of the ones I wanted to start with is I'm familiar with the old style, wonderful Eclipses, Andromedas, and this is kind of a modern day take on both of those units, isn't it?
It is indeed. Back a good few years ago when we first brought out the Andromedas and the Eclipses, we had XY tables with a lovely, nice compact screen. So what we've done over the last couple of years from talking to our customers, we've decided that we have an ability to remove the XY table, as we have here in front, and attach the main base to an arm that you'll be able to attach to a table, so it makes it very flexible. This is the actual machine here with all the bits and bolts inside it. It's nice, lightweight, so it's going to be easy to move around the place. So it just clips into the back of the machine.
I
you
love
plug
that.
In your power.
I love that you've got that sound, so you know it's connected.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You press the power button, and that turns the machine on. The lights shine down onto your reading material. So it makes it nice and bright. You get really high contrast. Has all the same features as the other CCTVs. Huge range of magnification, positives and negatives, semi-colors, line markers, the works.
Right. So you're saving space on your desk because
yeah.
of the clamp.
That's
you
it.
Have the ability to move this up and down because mm-hmm. in some of the older units that had the base, you were kind of locked into a kind of space where the camera was.
Yeah. So the other great thing as well is if a student is has a wheelchair or something like that, and they can't get in too close to the table.
Right.
I've put the iFlex over the edge of the table. I'll just put my hand underneath it, so just see that it's so flexible that you can do some work comfortably underneath. Or if you come underneath with the a table, the machine shows up there. So it's a great
super versatile.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this particular one that I've always thought was really good is the lights. And the heat, there's virtually no heat. And so if you're doing a lot of writing and stuff like that,
yeah,
even in the old style ones, that's what I always thought was really neat.
Yeah.
And it gives there's a lot of LEDs out there, but this is one of the softer ones. And I've always found that really great about this particular unit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really fantastic. And this is currently shipping now, of course.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is. Tim, how long would you...
Yeah, we basically have this in stock. Ashenbach Optic is the distributor in North America for Ash Technology products, so
right.
We have those available in stock for delivery.
There you go. Okay. So we wanted to move down the line here and focus on...
The next machine we have is the Quick Look 2Go. It's one of our newest handheld devices. It's got a 4.5-inch LCD screen. It's got a camera just off the side of it, which you use for your reading and writing. And it's also got a center-mounted camera, which also helps with reading and writing.
Fantastic. So that's two separate cameras in a way.
Two separate cameras, exactly. What I'm going to do is just run a quick demo on how it works. There's a button underneath the machine. You press it, it flips up a camera really quick. So you place the unit flat down on top of your text. You move it left and right so you get a great high-contrast image where you got full color, you got your positives and negatives, you got a range of semicolors. You've three different steps of magnification. And then you've also got the ability to freeze frame as well. Also with the angle of the camera, it gives you an easy ability to do handwriting as well. So if you have to sign a signature or write a quick note,
exactly.
Easily accessible with this machine. But also, on the back there's another camera. That camera's there, so if you're in a situation where you can't leave the Quick Look down flat on your page, you can just flip out a little handle, turns on the camera underneath. So then you have the ability to have the Quick Look to go just off the text and gives you excellent magnification as well.
Perfect for reading something rounded, perfect for reading, say, something that's using a gauge.
Yeah.
Something if you're going to read like a washing machine or something like that.
Yeah, you've got a great depth of field with that particular camera as well.
And the ability to turn lights on and off and all sorts of great features, which, just like the other Quick Looks that have come before it, which is fantastic.
Yeah, if you're a Quick Look user, it still has all the same wonderful features. Just has a new design and a second camera as well to just give you extra flexibility with it.
That is super neat. And again, I'm going to turn to your friend and say that is currently available in shipping as well.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, so there was another one you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go down the line and see what's next.
Yeah, this is another handheld devices. We've got two here in front of us. One is the Eschenbach Mobilux Digital. It looks a lot like a magnifying glass. But what we've done is, where you'd normally see the glass, we've put it in a new AMOLED screen, camera at the back. You just push the switch forward and that turns on the camera. So then you can just use the machine to move over and back over your text. It's a lot of wonderful features. One of the most important things, if I just press the freeze button, just so I might show it to the camera there, it's you'll notice that the quality of the text doesn't fade no matter what angle we're looking at.
Wow.
So it's this new AMOLED screen, really super bright image.
So you're getting the 170 kind of degree field kind of thing.
That's it.
Okay, perfect.
And the other thing as well, you can see how thin this is.
Right.
It's finely balanced just with the battery in the handle and the screen and the camera in the front. So it's almost like it's light, weightless in your hand.
How much is that continuous on battery power?
You're looking at it, it depends on whether it's in full color or positive and negative.
Okay.
But it can get up to about 2.5 to 3 hours constant use with
fantastic.
This machine.
Fantastic. There you go. And perfect for spot reading.
That's it, exactly. And it's so lightweight that it'll fit into your pocket and you wouldn't even notice it's there.
Great.
The next one is its big brother. This is called a Crystal XL. The main difference here is we've got a bigger screen. But it's also the newest one, so it's got a few changes to the design.
Right.
One of the things you notice is the handle has changed. It's more ergonomic in your hand. It fits a lot more comfortably in there.
Right.
So for long excess use, you'll feel very comfortable there. The other thing is The buttons are all in a sweep around with your thumb, so it's going to be very easy to...
on the fly if you're doing something.
That's
and, right, so you're not hidden by, where's that button or where's that feature?
Yeah, that's
gotcha.
It. Gotcha. So there you have it. You can see the big difference there on the different screen. We've got three steps of magnification. We've got positives and negatives. And you can choose your semicolor. You even got this great feature of overview. I press that, it comes into focus. So that's great when you're reading headlines.
Exactly.
See
okay.
the way here, you're only
with
getting one word.
With multiple fonts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You're getting one word at a time. I lift out here. There it is. It's in focus. You get a lot more text on the screen.
Fantastic.
You got freeze frame, power. It's got the micro USB charger, so it's... you can use your laptop to charge it up. Or
oh, perfect. For the weekend warrior or the traveler.
That's it.
So you've got that going. The collapsible, so it's easier to store.
Yeah.
And not that much, if I remember right, not that heavier than the other units.
No, so. No. It's I only know it in kilos. Tim, would you know the weight?
No.
You wouldn't.
Yeah, but going anecdotally, just from holding them side by side,
yeah.
It isn't that much to get those features in that unit for just a little more. You're not really giving away anything to be able to step up into that.
No, and again, because of the balance, you wouldn't even notice the weight difference in the
exactly.
different size.
Exactly.
So the good counterbalance.
Fantastic. Okay, so we've done a lot of talking.
Yeah.
Let's do some talking over here. What do we want to cover?
So basically, all of these products, again, are available through Eschenbach Optic, one of the leading manufacturers of high-quality magnification solutions. And again, we make these products, the Esch technology products, available in North America through us, and our website. To learn more is www.eschenbach.com. That's EschenBach.com.
And for full disclosure, I've been using Eschenbach magnifiers for a very long time, and I've also used Esch technology, so I'm familiar with some of these products, and I just want to make sure we have that on the record. For 2012 ATIA, Joe Steinkamp for Serotalk Podcast Network.
Coverage of the 2012 ATIA conference continues on SPN.
Those video magnifiers from Esch are always changing. I actually remember the very first Quick Look, and then it became the Quick Look Focus and the Quick Look Zoom, and now the Quick Look Go. It's great to see that as technology advances, video magnifiers just keep getting better and better. You know what also keeps getting better? These interviews. Don't you think so, Jamie?
I certainly do. And let's just prove that right now with an interview from Derek Lane, visiting with the folks over at Click and Go Maps, right here on the Serotalk Podcast.
This is Derek Lane hanging out with Joe at the Click and Go booth, and he's representing not just Click and Go, but what was it, InTouch Graphics, very cool. And what we have here are raised maps, I believe.
Yeah, on another table of the raised maps here, I just have a computer monitor with the Click and Go information. Click and Go is a manually compiled mapping system that's text-based, that's customized to provide really step-by-step directions to deafblind and blind travelers and also wheelchair travelers. It's a free service for users, and they can access routes indoors and outdoors on college campuses, transit systems, in hotels, in downtown areas of cities. And it's accessible with every conceivable delivery method. So you can listen to it with a screen reader. You can download it in text or MP3 formats. You can zip download it, so you can get an entire database for a college campus. Or you can just call on your telephone and use interactive voice response.
So this is clearly different from GPS in many ways.
Clearly different, yeah.
Very.
Yeah. It's highly detailed. It's all compiled by mobility instructors. And you can select your starting and end point. And it will give you information such as texture, slope, sound sources, distance from landmark to landmark. I think it's like getting the narrative that you might get from a private mobility instructor on a route.
Without having to worry about scheduling an appointment with one, for example.
Right, and for blind and deafblind travelers that are skilled already as travelers, you don't need a mobility instructor to orient you to a new place. You need data. For so many experienced travelers, what is not available is information. So if you arrive at a new park or a new transit system that you've never been to before, you don't need someone to teach you how to travel. You need information. And this is information that is available. It's free for all users. And it's information that allows you to make a cognitive map. You can get virtual tours of an area. You can get points of interest, information about specific points in the environment, and then you can select individual routes. So Here, for example, at the ATIA conference, we have almost 300 routes compiled, virtual tours, and a number of points of interest.
Are they where I can see one? Demo,
I could play one for you.
Sure.
I could play one from the ballroom entrance to the convention center to the exhibit hall.
So this is a little bit of a route.
Well, not too bad.
Well, not too bad, but around here, it's
yeah.
You know.
This is from the entry doors to the convention center to the exhibit hall doors.
Okay.
Here we go.
Welcome to Click and Go Wayfinding Maps. Directions for location. ATIA 2012 Orlando. Starting landmark. Grand Sierra Ballroom Foyer. Destination landmark. Antigua Room 3. There are two directional steps to go from Grand Sierra Ballroom Foyer to Antigua Room 3. 1. With your back to the Grand Sierra Ballroom building entry doors, walk ahead 5 steps onto tile and turn left. As you walk forward, the tile changes to carpet in 35 feet. In another 40 feet, there is a large hallway corner opening on the right. Turn right here to face the main Grand Sierra hallway. 2. The 15-foot-wide Antigua hallway is 75 feet ahead, the first of 3 large left-side hallways. All room entrances are on the right or north side wall. As you turn into the Antigua hallway, meeting room 3 is 125 feet ahead, the third set of double doors on the right side.
So that's an example.
Sure.
Of a pretty detailed
maps.
And we've actually done the routes to every booth in the exhibit hall. So if you wanted to go to any booth, you just ask for the starting point as the exhibit hall doors and the destination as whatever booth number you want to choose.
And it will assimilate the route for you.
Detailed step-by-step right to the booth.
Very nice. Now, for someone to get access to Click and Go services, mm-hmm. What one need to do?
Okay, well, we have our main website is just spelled out, clickandgomaps.com. So clickandgo maps.com. And then every site that we compile for has its own free number. So we have an 800 number for the ATIA conference. We've just gotten several universities. And so every site would have its own access number, but they're all on our website. And anyone can call in. You can also freely download any of the routes to your MP3 player or text player, and you can zip download the entire 280 routes in one click.
Now, let's say someone wanted to contribute. How could they go about doing that?
Contribute data?
Contribute data, money, whatever, any of it.
To contribute data, a lot of people have said to us, oh, this is really cool. We could crowdsource, and we could get all of this neat data for blind and deafblind travelers. And although that might sound like a good idea, I would be concerned about people contributing bad data or forgetting to mention that there are stairs on the route or something like that.
Sure.
So we only use competent mobility instructors. They can be blind or sighted, it doesn't matter, but they have to be competent, experienced instructors. And they would work with us to compile the data. And we don't receive contributions, but we view this as a reasonable accommodation that facilities should be making to citizens. And we charge transit, university, hotel, and cities a fee for access to the technology, and then we compile the data for their site. So that's the business model.
That's the business model.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
So you guys should be around for a while, which is great.
I hope so.
Because some of this stuff, comes up, it's like, oh, this is going to be, oh, and then it's gone. Come and go kind of things, but
honestly, the feedback we've gotten from blind, deafblind, and other members of the community, we also have a wheelchair database, it's been superlative. We've gotten really good feedback from very important people in the community that I have a lot of respect for, and we know we've got something that's helpful, that's valuable, and we don't think that blind and deafblind travelers should have to pay for a device so that they can get data that I can see for free. It should be something that's available for people, and then they can make their own cognitive maps, spatial maps, and they can travel more confidently. So that's pretty much it.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, Derek. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, this has been Derek Lane.
We're visiting here at ATI 2012 with Alana from ABIC.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, Alana.
Thank you very much.
Great. So what are you guys showing this year?
ABSC is a manufacturer of reading devices for the blind and low vision. Uh-huh. And we are located in Massachusetts, in Acton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
We have two lines of products, as I said, for low vision and for the blind people.
Right.
So this year, the very new, just released in this month, mm-hmm. and will be available for purchase starting February 1st. There are two devices, iPal Reader, the device for the blind people,
okay.
can read aloud,
mm-hmm.
and can read in 17 languages.
Oh my, so, very nice.
Yeah. And the second one is iPal Vision.
Mm-hmm.
The device can be connected to the monitor, and right. it will be sold with the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So it also reads text aloud, any yeah. printed text, and it will display it on the monitor, on the screen, for the convenience of the low vision people.
Great.
The new about this reader and vision is that these devices can read fine print, really, really small print.
Great.
And I think it's a good innovation
mm-hmm.
In assistive technology. And I hope our customers and potential customers will be happy about this.
Now, what voice are you using?
We are using Nuance.
Okay, right. And what is the price point of the two products?
The one with the monitor for low vision,
mm-hmm.
It's iPal Vision, will be $2,595. And the reader without the connection to the monitor will be $1,995.
And where can people go to find out more about your products and possibly order?
First of all, we have all the information on our website, which is www.abisee.com, and we have a phone numbers there and all the information, and also a list of our dealers in any state and different countries. Customer can call us directly anytime, and then we can make a direct sale and then reimburse the dealer appropriately, or we can just transfer this call to the dealer, and because dealer can come over and show how it works, and so it's maybe even better
okay.
idea.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much for stopping by, and you are very welcome to take a look at our products and try how it works.
Okay. Reporting for the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Jamie Pauls.
Joe Steinkamp back here at ATIA, sunny Orlando, and I've got another video magnifier to discuss. Why not just introduce yourself and let us know what kind of product we're going to look at today.
Thank you very much, Joe. I'm Ken Twergo from the Low Vision Store. We're based in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
That's a suburb of Portland, Oregon.
Wow, that's and getting to be pretty popular in the low vision space all of a sudden.
It is, yes, as a matter of fact. And so, well, we've been in the business 15 years. And
okay.
About 2 years ago, we approached a Danish company called Tegarno
okay.
that had the best cameras that we thought we had ever seen. And we are now the American importer of Tegarno cameras.
Fantastic.
This camera here in front of us is the IBIS.
Okay.
It is a standard CCTV in a new configuration. It weighs 3.3 pounds, and it's high definition.
Fantastic. And this connects to any computer monitor, or do you sell monitors to go along with that?
We often sell the monitors, but many of our people just go to Costco and buy their own monitor, an HD TV or an HD monitor.
Lowering the cost of the unit
lowering the cost of the unit by about $100. We don't upcharge on the monitors that
much. Right. But if something should go out or go wrong, you've got the ability to go to Sam's or whatever and grab yourself a new monitor.
Getting another monitor is pretty easy. And, you know, if you buy it at Costco, you get 2 years warranty on the monitor.
Sure.
The warranty on the cameras is 30 months.
Fantastic.
And by the way, we haven't ever had a problem with an IBIS camera.
Wow.
They're built in Denmark.
Right.
And they're built carefully. You know, as you can tell by the design, if this video is working, they're beautiful cameras. I have one here that's not plugged in.
Yeah, let's demonstrate
weighs,
how that
collapses. It weighs 3.3 pounds. It's a 720p image using either HDMI or DVI cabling
right.
to connect to your high-definition screen.
So normal connections, nothing substantial?
No, it takes 2 seconds to connect
this camera.
It has
a nice base, too, not like the Twix.
Exactly.
Oh, for goodness sakes, I wouldn't even put them in the same sentence. It's an extremely stable product. It's going to be reviewed in Access World next week.
Oh, wow.
When the new issue comes out.
Okay, fantastic. And lightweight, easy to set up?
Easy to set up. My wife does a lot of, she makes jewelry, she knits.
Mm-hmm.
There's 9 inches between the camera and the table. And so there's room to do most craft work. And you're doing it in high definition.
Now, this is an autofocus camera, Ken?
It's an autofocus camera.
Okay.
That magnifies from 2x magnification. On this monitor, will go to just under 80x magnification. And smoothly, with no jumps, really beautifully transitions.
And there's a light under the camera. Some of these cameras of this ilk usually don't rely on external lighting. They usually rely on whatever lighting is in the room, but this one has a...
I understand that. And the interesting thing is people often categorize the camera because of its design.
Right,
right. The thing to do, and I hope I don't flash out your camera, it's using LED lighting at a steep angle, so as you can tell with shiny paper, there is no glare on the screen.
Right. So you don't want to look down and get the reflection of the magazine in your eyes as you're actually trying to
really
position yourself.
A important thing for people to remember when they look at this device is that this is absolutely a replacement for a 55-pound CCTV. It's just a new way to look at the product and a new way to design it.
So let's talk about pricing and where people can contact you to learn more about the IBIS.
Thanks very much. This camera is $3,050, including shipping anywhere in the U.S.
Fantastic. With a 30-month warranty, no less.
With a 30-month warranty. And I have been trained. I can take this apart and put it back together. So we haven't ever had a need for service, but I'm capable of doing it.
Fantastic.
So Tagano has taught me. We keep them in stock. They come in 3 colors. This wonderful red, a satin blue, and a satin gray, okay? The cameras are almost all metal. There's very little plastic in it. We are located in Vancouver, Washington. Our website is thelowvisionstore.net. Thelowvisionstore.net, and I'm Ken.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. And remember, anytime you guys didn't get that information, check our show notes at sarotalk.com or contact us at resources@sarotalk.com. Joe Steinkamp for the Sarotalk Podcast Network in ATIA 2012.
Now, more from the floor of the 2012 ATIA Conference on the Sarotalk Podcast Network.
Reporting from the CompuSalt booth, I am having the pleasure of speaking to Paul Mitten.
That's correct.
I believe it is. Like mitten, like...
Like glove.
The glove, yeah. And you guys have a lot of unique stuff that is a merge of products that would be interesting to both the consumer and agencies.
Yeah, I think so, Derek. We make a variety of products that are either our own manufactured products or we sort of do like a systems integration and combine solutions from various sources worldwide to create a turnkey product for either end users or for organizations that employ people with disabilities or just for people to use for educational, workplace, and home requirements. I'm going to talk about 3 sort of areas that we're doing a lot of work in lately.
Okay.
The first one, of course, we come to the mobile devices, which is really the popular area for pretty much anybody these days in the assistive technology world because there's so much AT built into many of these products. What CompuSalt provides is we source different solutions worldwide from Japan, Korea, the United States, Canada, Europe, and so on to create a bundled package for our customers, which would consist of, for example, an iPad 2, the latest generation, with an appropriate case, which can be a ruggedized case, a light case, case with speakers, whatever, optionally external wired or wireless speakers, various types of software, for example, alternative and augmentative communication or AAC software, or other types of software and accessories that anybody might want for their solution. In addition, because we're an internet service provider, we also set up an email account for the individual on iTunes or whatever they're accessing for their apps, so that we hand that over at the same time and give them basically a path to further upgrades and so on for the different apps on their device. And we do all this for them so that when they receive it, they basically open it up, start using it, and work with it right away. And they have all the bits and pieces they want already installed, tested, and ready to go.
Now, for example, if you have an iPad and a case, is the iPad already in the case?
Yes, it is. We do all. The apps are installed on the iPad. The iPad's in the case. And if there's any other accessories that need to be attached or mounted to it, for example, maybe some people need certain mounts. We actually make mounting systems for wheelchairs as well, so that might be something that somebody wants. Or if, for example, they need, let's see, a Switch-compatible application like Predictable from TherapyBox in the United Kingdom, we'll install that app on the iPad, we'll put it in an appropriate case for the individual, we'll provide the Bluetooth switch box, and we'll provide the switches of their choice. So that, like I say, when they receive it, they take it out, they're ready to use it. And if this individual also needed a special mount or a custom mount for their wheelchair, bed, or whatever desk, we can provide all that too. So as I said, it's completely turnkey, ready to roll as soon as they take it out of the box. So that's one of the areas we've been focusing on a lot. Further on the mobile device side of things, especially for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch, we are currently in engineering development for an interface from accessibility products to these devices. Because, for example, we make products like the Joust 2 and other switch boxes and so on, which provide standardized access to computer systems like Macs and PCs and AAC devices. But the big challenge these days for people with physical disabilities especially is having that same kind of accessibility to these mobile devices, especially the Apple products. So what we are working on sort of fast and furious is to create a generic interface to these products. And we hope to have that rolled out sometime, we're probably around mid-2012.
Maybe like a custom home screen for some of the Droid phones or something like that?
That's a possibility too, but what we're trying to do with all our other products, we've avoided, our focus is put it all in the electronics and try and avoid having to have custom software. That's the same approach we're trying to do with the mobile devices. Given that this is the mobile devices present some unique challenges in that area, we're not sure if that's going to be 100% feasible, but that's our objective. We want to basically make it a plug-and-play device. You plug it into the mobile device, and it works, and it gives you the accessibility you need to work with that. So
perhaps Bluetooth keyboard cases, maybe.
Well, the only problem, like with the Bluetooth profile supported on some of the devices, they unfortunately don't give you the kind of accessibility that you would expect. For example, keys like arrow keys, tab keys, and other navigation keys that you could use as an alternative to a mouse on a PC, for example, are not basically made to work that way on mobile devices, except, for example, when you're working in, let's say, a text editing application, like your email or a notepad or something like that. But if you want to be able to like move to different objects on the screen, none of the sort of standard Bluetooth keyboard keys or any kind of keyboard keys let you do that. This is unfortunate. It was, I think, a bit of a disappointment for many people, including non-disabled users, that you can't use sort of standard navigation controls on an external wired or wireless keyboard to control the device or to navigate around the device. And that's the challenge that we're trying to overcome with this interface solution we're working on. So the other third area I'd like to talk about, because this has been an ongoing thing that Combisol has worked on since about 1997, and that is we are specialists in the workplace adaptation and accommodation area, especially as it relates to employees who are blind or visually impaired. And what we make are a line of products for adapting things like business telephone systems, alarm panels, and other electronic devices and equipment in the workplace that typically have visual indicators and message displays and aren't accessible to people who can't see them. So what we do is we basically provide solutions that interface to these systems and devices and provide both speech output and large print high contrast display output. So if you are blind or you just have a visual impairment, you can use one or both of those methods for accessing the information. And the benefit is, it means that it opens up or expands work opportunities for blind and visually impaired employees, and it also allows them to work completely independently and fulfill the responsibilities of their jobs without needing assistance or whatnot. And for example, some of the employees that use our products, they work things like midnight to 8 a.m. shifts totally by themselves, and they have to be completely capable of responding to, in some cases, emergency situations in hospitals accurately and quickly to avoid any unpleasant results, because they couldn't read a display or understand what was going on because it was a visual piece of information.
Right, that's why, unfortunately, a lot of blind dispatchers had found themselves out of work.
Well, and exactly. We solve those kinds of problems. We have actually retained jobs for blind individuals in some cases. There was an example at a radio station in Rochester, New York, where they brought in a new digital mixing board, but they had a blind radio engineer. Now, he was fine on the old manual mixing board, right, but with the new digital board, it was completely inaccessible to him. So we took one of our products, did an extension to it, and basically gave him a wireless means through a keyboard and speech output solution to access the digital mixing board controls and modify the settings accordingly by just doing network-based communications via the wireless keyboard and the computer system to that digital mixing board. So in other words, we made it possible for that radio engineer to continue in his job with a brand new digital mixing board product. And similar, we have other employees all the time. We actually, I guess, are sort of the solution where there's an opportunity for blind and visually impaired employees to fill roles, for example, as switchboard operators in Veterans Affairs medical centers or U.S. Air Force bases or other federal or state or private company facilities, but they just simply can't access the visual information from the phone systems and or other electronic equipment they work for. We provide the interfaces and the speech and large print output from that, and then, like I say, they can work completely independently with these systems and fulfill all their job responsibilities, sometimes just as quick or more quickly than the sighted employees. Another benefit to these systems we found out is twofold. One is that they found, for example, with alarm systems, in the old days before our products, if an alarm went off, even the sighted employees would have to get up, walk across the room, and verify what the alarm was before making a call to get somebody to respond to it.
Right.
But with the speech output, even the sighted employees can instantaneously hear what the nature of the alarm is and call in a response. That cuts the response time by sometimes as much as 30 seconds to a minute, which in a life-threatening situation in the hospital is extremely critical. Like, for example, somebody's having a heart attack, right? So our systems actually improve response times for all employees, not just the blind and visually impaired employees. And additionally, our systems also log everything that's going on. So if there are potential equipment failure points or problems, we find that the facilities management people go back through our logs and verify what our system did and didn't receive in the way of information, which gives them a very easy way to verify the problems with their systems and be able to quickly find those failure points and fix them. And when they run their routine, like monthly or quarterly checks on all the systems, they go back and look at the logs and they can say, okay, we ran all the checks and we only missed it, so let's say 2 points. But for them, it's real quick. They just let our system capture all the information, then find out what didn't come through, and now they know where the problem areas are. So there's benefits for other employees besides just the workers there. So.
Now, the minute there is a failure point, will the speech output let someone know?
Well, not necessarily, not unless there's a way to do that. If, for example, the panel or the system they're working with reports a failure point, then yes, we can do that. Our system only responds to what information it receives. So if there's a failure point which prevents information from being transmitted to the display device, like, say, an alarm panel, well, we can't know that, right?
Right.
You know, but the thing is, the facilities management people are supposed to routinely test these things. And like I said, they often use our logs to cross-check what was received and what was not.
Now, should a person or company want to take advantage of your very valuable services, where would they need to go on the internet? Or?
They should go to our website, which is www.compusult.net, and I'll spell that out. It's C-O-M-P as in Paul, U-S as in Sam, U-L-T.net. And they can also call our number toll-free in the U.S. or Canada. It's 1-888-388-3888. 8180 and just dial 0 and ask for assistive technology.
And finally, pricing. If you're doing a custom package for someone, how does this work? Is it a per hour basis that you're
talking about the
just in general?
Well, actually, most of our systems for the mobile devices, those kinds of packages, mm-hmm. we have a fixed price structure for that, and okay. you can just call us up or contact us by email, and we or through our website, and we can give you quotes on what those standard prices are. For the workplace type installations, because each workplace is different and there may be more or less equipment and more complex or less complex equipment to work with, it really depends on the situation. We can't normally give a firm fixed price, but we do quotes, and they are firm fixed price quotes for employers or individuals who need this kind of capability at the workplace.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, too.
It has been a pleasure.
Same here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Absolutely. Okay. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, this is Derek Lane.
We're here at ATIA 2012, and we're talking with Patrick here with Learning Ally. And first of all, welcome to the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So you guys have got a lot of really exciting things over the past year. You've had the name change, and you've got some really good stuff going on. What are you guys most excited about right now?
Well, we're very excited, first of all, about some of the digital formatting that we're getting into. The actual download manager that we have is much more user-friendly than it had been in the past. It actually gives you an opportunity to see the cover art of the book that you have, as well as being accessible to our blind and visually impaired friends that will actually tell you what book you have, and it's easier to sync to all of the units that you're using, which we think is very exciting.
Great.
We also have books and formats and apps that will work with all of the Apple units. Mm-hmm. So all the iOS platform kinds of things, your iPad, iTouch, your iPhone, you can actually download your books there with complete navigation. So we're very excited about those things as well.
Very good. So you guys have got a lot of content. What are some things that people can find on your site?
We have over 67,000 titles in our library currently. One of the things we're most excited about, which is becoming a very hot topic in educational circles, is STEM education. We probably have the largest STEM library in the country. So the science, technology, engineering, and math. And we're very excited about that because STEM education dovetails right into college and career readiness. And those are hot topics all across the country with boards of education, those kinds of folks. So really getting those things together to prepare those students for the next level of workforce development. And we're right there with them.
So you guys have used human narrators for as long as I can remember. Are you starting to get into some of the text-to-speech narration?
We are starting to do that, but I will tell you that we will always have human volunteers, especially with the STEM materials.
Right.
You have to have somebody that knows what they're talking about to read those charts, to read those pictures and graphs and things that you get with your technical type manuals. The synthetic speech is getting better, but you still have to have somebody that understands the content to put it out there so that everybody truly can access that and make the most out of it.
Very good. Well, there's so much to look at. Why don't you give our listeners some contact information so they can learn more?
They can actually visit our website, which is the best way to do it, www.learningally.org. And they can get out there and check out our audiobook library. They can see how to become individual members if they'd like. And depending on where they are in the country, they can find the information of that contact person for their quadrant of the country.
And Learning Ally is A-L-L-Y, correct?
Yes, sir. Correct.
All right.
That's
very
it.
Good. Reporting for the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Jamie Pauls.
That's going to take care of the interviews for this special edition of the podcast. If you like what you've heard, we have two more coming, so be sure and stay tuned right here on the Saratalk Podcast.